It was a story of 24-hour turnaround from 180 degrees. Amen. They're the kind of answers we like when we pray, right? And when things are going wrong and going south, and God turns everything 180 degrees and makes everything right. And that's what he did within 24 hours. what happened was Queen Esther had a banquet. And she invited two people with her. And I should read a couple of verses. And she invited Haman, who was the prime minister, and she invited the king, and Xerxes. And within 24 hours of that banquet, there would be life-altering, life-changing circumstances that God had brought about. Hallelujah. Let's read a couple of verses from chapter 5. Whatever I think I wrote down there. Verse 9 of chapter 5. And this is Haman came out of the banquet that he had with Queen Esther and with the king. So Haman went out that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he didn't stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation. So he had great joy and he had some indignation. He wasn't a happy camper, not totally. And so we read verse 12, I think it is. And moreover, Haman said, besides, he's talking to his family now, his wife. And beside Queen Esther inviting no one but me to come in to the king, to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I'm again invited by her alone with the king. I'm glad he was excited about it. Yet it avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at this king's gate. And when his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallow be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it, and then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And this thing pleased him, and so he had a gallows made. Amen. And it's always good not to make your own plans, family. It's always good to pray about things before you do something wild and outrageous. And so here were God's captives, and God was at work. He was at work so powerfully that in 24 hours, there was going to be a 180-degree turnaround. And God isn't even mentioned in this book, and he is hidden. But the Almighty God who was hidden was powerfully working behind the scenes. And you know, when we don't see him working, he's working. When we don't feel him working, he's working. And one of the greatest victories that the Jewish captives really have known, the events of the day that marked one of the greatest turnarounds, besides, you know, of course, the cross of Christ. And the God who was out of sight wasn't inactive. Hallelujah. Amongst the captives. God was with the people. Hallelujah. The hidden workings of Almighty God is what saved the day. And so, you know, here was Mordecai and his enemy was planning his demise. Your enemy's planning yours too. Yeah. But at the same time, the king was planning his reward. The Lord woke King Xerxes up in the night and told him, you've never honored Mordecai, who saved you from an assassination attempt. And so the Lord was planning for Mordecai to get a reward. And so when Haman came to work that morning, he was happy. And before he could say anything, the king said, what would you do if you wanted to honor someone? What would you do if you wanted to make them stand out, give them a reward? And so Haman begins to answer him. And verse 7, I think, of chapter 6, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let him give him a robe. I'm going to paraphrase. Your robe that you've worn, you put it on him. so that he can be wrapped in the king's robe. And then put him on one of your horses that has the king's crest on his forehead. And then get someone, some notable prince from your kingdom to lead him around through the streets. Amen. And honor him and say, this man is honored. And so here was Haman who comes in planning to hang Mordecai on his gallows. Amen. And while the enemy is plotting your end, the king was plotting your reward. Praise God. And that's what was happening here. And so when Haman come in, the king said, Haman, I got a job for you. I got a job for you this morning. And I like those ideas you got. Now run and get the robe and the horse and go wrap them around Mordecai. Mordecai. And so the God, the hidden God, hidden to his captives, his name wasn't mentioned in the book, was at work in a powerful way to humble his enemies. And Haman was humbled that day, and he became Mordecai's servant, and he gave him his own private little parade through the streets. Hallelujah. And honored him. And you know what the Lord said about the captives to Jeremiah was holding up these, I don't know what it was, 130 years later, that the thoughts that I have towards you aren't evil, but they're good. Amen. I want to give you a hope, and I want to give you a future. And this was the word that was given by God. People in captivity, I'm going to deliver you from your yesterday because I want to bring you into a new tomorrow. And isn't that where God's brought us from, out of our captivity? And he's still bringing us out of our captivity. And to set us free, he's bringing us into a new tomorrow. And so verse 10 of chapter 7, just to close this off, it's so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was subsided. And so Mordecai was lifted up into Haman's position. Now he was the all-powerful prime minister, second in command in the land, and they straightened out all the crooked pathways that were before them. And I want to go back for a minute to Ezekiel. And you know, God said to Ezekiel in the second chapter, even though I send him a prophet, isn't that the heart of God? Isn't that love? Even they're going into captivity, he didn't abandon. He wanted to make sure they had a prophet among them and to speak the things of God to them. And the things of God wouldn't be immediately obvious to them because they didn't believe anything they were hearing. But what would happen is in time, as the things Ezekiel had said to them begin to come to pass, they would realize that what they had experienced was no accident. It was exactly what God had determined. In other words, even when things are out of control, God is in control. Hallelujah. Even though we're POWs, and there's a lot of POWs out there, God cares for the POWs. His heart is with them. And I've got a few in my family, prisoners of war, that need to be set free. And maybe there's some in God's family, too. Amen. But the Lord wants to deliver us from how about the wounds of our past? You ever been wounded? Man, unless you're older than 12, you could say no. But when you get older than 12, you know, we start receiving wounds from our past. And the Lord wants to He wants to minister to us. He wants to heal us up. He wants to heal those wounds and enable us to go forward. Hallelujah. And that's why he came, to heal the brokenhearted, to mend up our wounds, the wounds of yesterday, and bring us into a different tomorrow. Hallelujah. And so Jesus enters into the ruins of Adam's fallen race to lead us into a new tomorrow. Hallelujah. I got it all in, and I still got 3 minutes. Hallelujah. And so how do we get into this new tomorrow? We We just have to follow Jesus. That's what he asks of us, and we're all mature Christians here. He come and follow me, and he's going to lead us out of bondage and into liberty. He's going to lead us out of death and into life. And he's already planted an eternal seed in each one of us, and that seed is on a journey, bringing us, taking us into the future that God has for us. And all we have to say today is, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. And sometimes it's good to renew, you know, our covenant with God. Lord, I want to follow you wherever you lead me. But I found out that my flesh is weak. And so sometimes I need a lot of help. I need a lot of grace. But today, Lord, I'm choosing. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. Hallelujah. And he's going to lead you out of captivity and into the liberty and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, we pray and thank you that you delivered us initially from the captivity that we were in, the bondage that we were into this world, and we hope we're totally free, but if we're not, we pray you continue to work in our hearts. You'd continue to mend our wounded hearts, Lord, and those that have said mean things about us, those who have made wrong judgments towards us, we pray that you would forgive them. We pray that you would forgive them and heal every broken relationship. We pray that, Lord, that you would forgive them and bless them. Pour your blessings out on them, Lord. Lift them up. And we don't want to have enemies, especially in the kingdom of God. There's no division. There's no enemies. And we want to be, I want to forgive everyone who hates me. I want to forgive everyone who says ugly things about me. And I pray you'd bless them and lift them up to a higher plane, Lord. And I pray that you would heal the wounds of our past. I pray that you'd heal the wounds of our hearts and bring us deeper into this wonderful liberty that all creation groans because they want to enter into. Lord, bring us into the fullness of this liberty, and we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praises in Jesus' name. Amen.